There's a bit on with business and finance this week. I looked at the woes of Bonza Airlines earlier, speaking with the Minister for Infrastructure and Transport, Catherine King. Of course, the low-cost carrier has today suspended operations, leaving passengers stranded, and again shining a light on the sustainability of Australia's aviation sector, particularly for new smaller players. But that's not the only game in town. Coles has today released quarterly sales with some, in fact, good news for consumers and the prospect of interest rates going up, not down. There are now real possibilities, according to analysis from our biggest bank. Here to unpack all that and more is James Thompson, columnist at the Australian Financial Review. James, let's start with Coles. What are these sales figures telling us?
Well, the sales figures are telling us that Coles supermarket business is going along pretty well. March quarter sales were up 4.2%. They had a tougher quarter in their liquor business, but that's a relatively small part of Coles' overall business. But the good news for consumers, I think, was that shelf prices are continuing to fall. So excluding fresh fruit and vegetables and tobacco, all of which can be a bit volatile, underlying price inflation was at 2.9%, which is down from 4% in the December quarter and 5.7% in the September quarter. So it's probably still too high for the Reserve Bank's comfort, but at least it's heading in the right direction.
You'd have to say that the supermarkets are under a kind of once-in-a-generation blowtorch in terms of scrutiny at the moment. Do these sales figures in any way reflect the consumer frustrations that we've been hearing so much about?
Well, they probably reflect the fact that consumers might be frustrated, but there's not too many options. You either shop at Coles and Woolies, you still need to buy the essentials, and these numbers show that consumers are still doing exactly that. So the frustration over the supermarkets probably isn't translating into a sales hit from what we can see so far.
Now, the CBA is saying that the next move for interest rates is likely to be up, not down. I thought we were coming to the end of this cycle. Why are they saying up now?
Well, CBA has been, their economics team has been pretty dovish. They've expected rate cuts to come relatively early, but now they're saying that, yes, a rate hike is a possibility. They're actually still expecting the next move will be down, but they've pushed that out from a rate cut, from previously predicting a rate cut in September to now expecting one in November. I've got to say, though, CBA is still a bit of an outlier here. Most economists are now expecting that we won't get rate cuts until February 2025. And you're right, there is this growing chatter that maybe the RBA will have to lift rates once more or even twice more this year just to tame the inflation dragon and get it sorted out. It's inflation around the world's proving sticky, and the RBA may well have to act.
James, the latest with BHP's attempt to buy out at the Anglo-American mining company. This has been going on for a little bit, hasn't it? What's the latest?
Yeah, well, we're in a bit of a holding pattern. So BHP lobbed an offer on Anzac Day last Thursday. Then a day later, Anglo-American said, no, we're not interested in that. And so now we're sort of waiting for BHP's next move. And there's a lot of talk that should BHP increase its bid, will another bidder emerge and try and buy Anglo and start a bit of a bidding war? We're waiting to see. But this is really all about copper, Andy. I mean, copper's needed in the electrification of the world as we go through this energy transition. It's needed for renewable energy. It's needed for data centers as artificial intelligence booms. The world doesn't have enough copper. We're going into a supply shortage later this year. And so all miners around the world are trying to get their hands on more. Anglo's got some good copper. BHP's already got plenty, but it'd love to get its hands on a little bit more.
I'll have to dig out the old 1 and 2 cent coins if copper's going up in price. What about nickel, though? Nickel, on the flip side, nickel's tanked, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. We've got too much nickel in the world. Indonesia has started producing extraordinary amounts of nickel in the last 18 months, backed by Chinese investors. And that's really flooded the market, pushed prices down. And Australian nickel producers just can't compete. And many of them are sort of having to look at mine closures, job cuts. So it's a different story in nickel. But copper's one of those materials where we do have these supply shortages coming, and it's not an easy product to mine. It's not easy to find anymore. The low-hanging fruit's been sort of eaten, and so we're looking at long-term copper shortages.
While I've got you, we've now heard from the telco ombudsman with the review into that outage that it affected millions of Optus customers, including people trying to access 000. What's the likelihood of a significant change here? I think there was 18 recommendations.
Yeah, I think we will see most of those recommendations put in place. They're mostly about better communication from the telecommunications company to the government to let everybody know if there is outages and have better processes in place to handle those. I mean, Optus is still, still fighting to regain the trust of the consumers in Australia. Their parent company, Singapore Telecommunications, wrote the value of the business down by more than $2 billion yesterday. So Optus is still on a long journey back to recovery here, and these recommendations probably will give it a bit of extra work to do.
Well, at least they're still in business, unlike Bonza. What did you think of today? Was it a surprise for Bonza to go into administration voluntarily, I should add?
I think the rumours have been going on for a long time that Bonza was financially struggling. What's extraordinary to me is that Bonza is part of this sort of global web of companies related to its parent, a company called 777 Partners. Now, 777's got businesses all around the world in all sorts of things. They're even trying to buy out a Premier League soccer club called Everton. And really, Bonza's been caught up in 777's financial problems. And it's one of those great stories where you've got, problems in an English soccer club, problems in Bermuda's reinsurance business, problems in Miami and New York. And all of a sudden, this business in Australia starts to struggle and its planes get repossessed. It's quite a story. And I guess it shows you that even a little airline like this with only a handful of planes can be caught up in some global financial moves.
Yes, indeed. James Thompson, the Chanticleer columnist at the Australian Financial Review. Always good to talk to you, James.
Thanks for having me again.